Let's go to the Lord in prayer too as we continue to prepare our hearts for His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for the blessing of worship and praise. Thank You that You've given us access to You through Christ, through our faith in You, through the power of the Holy Spirit within us, Lord, just to be able to praise You and worship You and give You the adoration, the exaltation that You deserve, Lord. Lord, we thank You for what You've done in our lives. We thank You for the cross. Thank You for paying our penalty. Thank You for rising from the grave and making it possible for us to have life. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Your Word is so powerful. And it's truth without error for our lives. It's what we live by. It's the foundation for our lives, Lord. And we're so thankful for it. And I pray that today, Lord, our ears would be open and we would listen intently, Lord, as Your Holy Spirit takes Your powerful Word and changes our hearts and minds, molds us into the likeness of Christ. Lord, have Your way in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the last several weeks, we've learned what it is to be a disciple of Jesus. That's what we've been talking about, basically defining what a Christian is and how they live their lives. Followers of Christ are disciples who make more disciples. And we're different from the world in many different ways, mainly because God brings about transformation in the life of each and every disciple. That's what He does. We've looked at the transformation of the heart that begins when we repent of our sin and we turn away from that old life of us being in control and we turn to Christ. We believe in who He is. We believe He died and rose from the grave. We repent of our sin. We're asking His forgiveness. We're surrendering our lives to Him. And then what happens? We're born of God. He adopts us as His own child. And then that transformation of the heart begins and He gives us this new nature with new godly desires and motives. And we start to grow in lives of holiness. Something that was not possible when we lived on our own strength in our own way. We also talked about the transformation of the mind. How God, the Holy Spirit that lives within us, He uses, through the power of the Holy Spirit, He uses the Word of God to transform our minds. He uses the Word of God to bring renewal of the mind. And when He does that, in turn, this changes everything about our life. Last week, we learned about the transformed affections of a disciple. How God works in us to change our very nature, the nature of our hearts, giving us new motives and focus in our affections. And our foremost affection we looked at was to be for God alone, to love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is wholehearted devotion and love for God alone, with every aspect of our being. Loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's every aspect of your being. You're giving Him the foremost devotion of your heart. This kind of love, it involves the deepest affection of your heart, your inner being, and your obedience. This transformation of your affection leads us to be deeply satisfied with Christ. We are deeply satisfied within our souls. We are content with where God has us and with what God is doing in our lives, with His plans. It gives us a greater desire for God. It gives us a greater craving to be in communion with Him. It gives us a hunger to listen carefully to what He has to say. We want to spend time with Him, not out of duty, but because we delight in Him. We want to please Him. We want to glorify Him. It gives us joy to be with Him because we love Him with all that we are. It reminds me of another story, which I wanted to share last week, and it didn't come to mind, but the story of Mary. If you remember, I'm talking about Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. It was about a week before Jesus was crucified, and they were at the house, and Mary comes in, and she anoints the head of Jesus and His feet with this expensive perfume. This perfume was worth a year's wage. In her effects and her actions here, she revealed her wholehearted love and devotion for Christ. She humbled herself, bowed at His feet, undid her hair, which was not a custom for Jewish women, and dried His feet with her hair. She revealed that she loved him with all that she are. She revealed that as a disciple of Christ, Jesus had transformed her affections, and her foremost affection was given to Christ. Without being swayed by anyone else and what they thought, she showed her foremost affection and love for Christ. And today, this is the transformation that happens in the disciple's life. If you're wondering, what is it to be a disciple? What is it to be a follower of Christ? How am I supposed to live? What should be happening in my life? Transformation of the heart, the mind, your affection. And today we're going to be in James chapter 1, 19 through 25, and we're going to be learning about the transformed will of a disciple, how God transforms our will. The closer we grow in our relationship with God, the more we walk according to His Word, the more Jesus transforms our ways to line up with His will. And James is like the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's so full of wisdom and practical instruction for living the Christian life. It's written to help Jesus' disciples grow and mature spiritually. And so the truth that we're going to learn in today's study reveals how this transformation of the will happens. Ultimately, the key to how we respond to life's issues, unforeseen circumstances, trials, temptation, is found in a person's reaction to God's Word. What we think about God's Word, how we treat His Word, how we receive His Word, how we respond to His Word is not just essential for spiritual growth, it is essential to the transformation of our will. James here talks about believers deceiving themselves in this passage. You know, if a Christian falls to sin because Satan has deceived them through temptation, that's one thing. But what about a disciple who deceives themselves? That's a whole other matter. Many disciples may think they are spiritually mature because they have so much knowledge. But in God's eyes, it may just be knowledge they have. The first thing we're going to work that in the work that God does to transform our will here is a disciple listens and receives God's Word. Look there at verses 19 through 21. A disciple listens and receives God's Word. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. There in verse 19, he says, know this. And this means to take note of what I'm about to say. James wanted the church to listen carefully to the truth he was about to give them. The phrase, be quick to hear, reminds us of what Jesus said often. He said, for those who have ears to hear, let them hear. For those who have ears to hear, let them hear. It reminds us of how a Christian should hear and respond to God's Word. Just as a mother can hear the slightest little noise, the slightest little cry of their baby, because they've trained their ears to hear the sounds of their child. It also reminds me of the story of David. If you remember, David was hiding from the Philistines, and they were in control of Bethlehem, and they're in this battle, and he just kind of yearned for this drink of water from the well that was in Bethlehem, probably a well that he had drank from when he was a child. And, you know, he doesn't give his men an order. Hey, I want you to go over there and take this water. David is just kind of off to himself, and he says quietly to himself this, man, I wish I had just some water from that well. His men had a listening ear to the voice of their king. And so they took it upon themselves to go across enemy lines and get David water from this well. They had trained themselves to be quick to hear David's voice. Are we quick to hear and listen to what God has to say? Are we? Are we quick to hear and listen to what God has to say? Have we trained ourselves to listen to the voice of God, or are we quick to listen to our own selfish desires or all the other voices that we hear around us? He then says to be slow to speak and slow to anger. James was writing to a church where there was much anger, fighting, quarreling amongst each other. Here was a group of believers who, they weren't really listening to God's instruction. Instead, they were debating the Word of God. They were disagreeing with one another about everything. And when we are quick to speak and get angry, he says there in verse 20 that This kind of attitude does not produce the righteousness that God desires. As it is, sometimes a person may face difficulties in life, and we may actually get angry with God or angry with His Word. We don't want to listen to what God has to say because it's contrary to how we want to live our lives. I mean, how many times do we get in trouble by running our mouths? Proverbs 10:19 says, "And when words are many, transgressions are not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent." Proverbs 17:27 says, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." Many times we may talk without thinking about what we're saying because we're driven by our emotions or our feelings. We don't realize that our words have the power to destroy the lives of others, as he'll talk about a little later in chapter 3 in James. We need to be better listeners, not just of others, but of God's Word. See, when we don't listen well, it drives us to jump to our own conclusions, and many times it produces anger in us. Proverbs 14:29 says, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." Being quick-tempered and angry is not a characteristic of a disciple of Christ. It doesn't mean that all anger is bad. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and do not sin." The problem is when our anger consumes us and drives us to sin against another person, or more importantly, against God. We can clearly see here in verse 20 that God desires righteous living from us. He desires that we forsake the sinful habits that we have in our lives and walk in righteousness. But here's the thing, without the Word, without His Word to guide us, to instruct us, to change us, there will be no transformation of our will. It will always be, "My will be done, not yours, Lord. My will be done, not yours." See, God has placed His nature and His power in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, He desires that we produce righteousness. And it starts by listening. It starts with listening to God's Word. He goes on to say there in verse 21 that we should put away or get rid of all moral filth and wickedness. The phrase "put away" here means to take off, like you take off old dirty garment or clothes. And get rid of the sin that's in your life that keeps you from living a righteous life. In today's world, I don't have to remind you, but we are confronted with so much moral filth. Things that are contrary to the Word of God. All sorts of things that the world says are good for you. But in reality, they destroy your life. They lead you down a road of brokenness and pain and hurt and destruction. In Galatians 5, 19-21, Paul gives us a list of some of these desires of the flesh that war against the Spirit. Things that we're confronted with every day. He says, he starts off in verse 16 of that chapter, says, "But walk by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh." And then he goes on and he lays out these works of the flesh. Because sometimes we need to kind of name them. If he's telling us to get rid of all this filthiness, what is this filthiness he's talking about here? Because we can have our own standards and our own measurements and our own bar set, and we can live by that and feel good about ourselves. Paul wants to make sure that doesn't happen. He wants you to know what these things are. And he says, in verse 19, he says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident." This is in Galatians 5:19. "Works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these." I mean, he just lays them all out. And these things are everywhere in our culture. They're in our communities. They're in our schools. They're on our TVs, they're on our radios, and sadly in many of our homes. Sadly, so much of the church has become desensitized to these things. So much so that we don't blush anymore. We don't turn away any longer. We're just accustomed to seeing it. And the church tries to keep its distance from the world, and, you know, although there's some distance, a slight difference between the world and the church, as the world gets worse, the church keeps its distance, but the church also gets worse. And the church also grows in these areas of wickedness. The only way to determine whether these things are not good things is by God's Word. Without the moral standard, that moral standard given by God, anything goes. Anything goes. Do you see why a person might not want to study God's Word or listen to what He has to say? We'd not even know about salvation if it wasn't for His Word. We'd not know about what God desires about a righteous living if it without His Word. And we would not know that what He meant or looked like to live a righteous life without His Word. His Word gives us a clear picture of a disciple of Jesus and what that looks like. Without His Word, anything goes. That's why God desires that we listen to His Word and respond. Look there back in James there at verse 21. He says, "Receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls." Now, the implanted Word is a phrase that's borrowed from the Lord's parable of the sower. We're talking about implanted Word. So the story there that He tells in that parable in Matthew 13, He's comparing God's Word to the seed and the human heart to soil. And basically how a person responds to the good news of Christ. Even now, how do we respond as believers to God's Word? But in His parable, Jesus describes four hearts. The hard heart, which was kind of wrapped up in the world, it didn't understand or didn't receive Jesus' words, therefore it bore no fruit. And then there was the shallow heart, which was very emotional and excited and said they received the Word but had no depth and bore no fruit. Then there was the crowded heart, which said they received it but lacked repentance and permitted sin to crowd out the Word, and they bore no fruit. And then finally was the fourth one, the only one that was the fruitful heart that received the Word, allowed it to take fruit, and produced a harvest of fruit. The final test of salvation was fruit. Jesus said, "You will know them by their fruit." And the Bible talks about many different kinds of fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in us as disciples. And we've looked at some of these. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of a transformed, changed life, the fruits of righteousness, good works, even praise to God is fruit. All of these are a fruit of real salvation when we truly put our faith in Christ. Fruit that comes from God's Spirit living in you. Fruit from the implanted Word of God. Religious works can be manufactured, but they do not have life in them, nor do they bring glory to God. Now, real fruit has in it the seed for more fruit, right? So that the harvest continues to grow. To fruit, more fruit. Jesus says in John 15:5, "If you abide in me, you produce much fruit." This is why He says in verse 21, He says that we are to receive with meekness. In other words, we are to humbly accept God's Word. The Word of God that we hear preached, that we hear taught in Sunday school, that is available for us to read and study and meditate on. How we accept, listen, and respond to God's Word is most important. Because God uses His Word to transform our will. If we don't humbly, if we're not humbly listening to Him, accepting His Word, there will be no transformation in our lives at all. Do you understand what this book is? All other books have human authors. The ultimate author of this book is God Himself. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 says, "Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Spirit." God spoke His Word through men by the power of the Holy Spirit. He chose these holy men to write down His Word so that all people could hear from Him. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The Word of God is living and powerful. It knows, it discerns the thoughts and intentions of our hearts." 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God. It makes us complete, prepared for every good work. It trains us in righteousness." You see how important it is to listen and accept God's Word for what it is? We have the words of our Creator God, the Almighty God that holds the universe in the span of His hand. He has spoke to us, and we have His words to read and study and listen and meditate on. What a blessing. It is truth for our lives. It guides, it leads, it shapes us as disciples of Christ. It gives life. If we don't accept the Bible as God's Word, then what foundation do we have to base our lives on? What foundation do we have to make decisions by? The righteous life that God wants from us starts with humility, realizing that we are dependent on Him for direction, for power to live this life. Therefore, in humility, we accept, we listen, we accept God's Word. The Bible is the Word of God, listening to Him, allowing Him, His Word, to change us and mold us into the likeness of Christ. Our ears should be quick to listen, quick to hear what God has to say in His Word, which means we need to take time to not only read, but ponder what He says. Ponder it, think about it, meditate on it, apply it to our lives. Flood our minds with His Word so that when we're faced with the issues of life, we're quick to hear His words, the words of God, rather than the words of the world, or rather than the words of our human nature. We hear His words first because we trained our minds, we flooded our minds with the Word of God, and we're quick to hear God speak to us through His Word. And that kind of drowns out all these other voices. What happens when we accept the Bible as just a historical document? When we accept the Bible as just another book written by man's point of view? If we don't accept it as God's spoken word, truth without error, then how might we live as disciples of Christ? We don't. We don't. We make up our own rules. We live by our own terms. We go our own way. That's what happens. And there's something very scary about that, because he says here in this verse, His Word is able to save your soul. Without it, we are on our own. Romans 1:16 says, the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes through hearing the gospel. You know, we don't have the right to accept only parts of God's Word that we like and reject the other parts that we don't like. We don't have that right. How we accept, listen, and respond to God's Word helps us grow spiritually, and God uses His Word to transform our ways and our will to line up with His will. He's transforming our will. The second thing I want us to learn is a disciple is faithful to obey God's Word. This is part of him transforming our will. Look at verses 22 through 25. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Verse 22, God says, don't just listen. He wants us to listen intently. But he says, don't just listen to his word, obey it. Don't just read it and study it, do what it says. See, it's not enough just to know God's word. We must obey him. Otherwise, he says, we are deceiving ourselves. Now, how does this happen? Well, verse 23 and 24, God gives us this example of a man who he looks in the mirror, he sees his reflection, and then he walks away and forgets what he looks like. Now, what does this have to do with God's Word? Well, just as a mirror, what does a mirror do? It reflects what we look like on the outside. The Word of God reflects what we look like on the inside. How God sees our heart. He knows our thoughts, our motives, the true motives of our heart. His Word becomes the standard that we live by. And when our hearts are put before the Word of God, it reveals what needs to be changed. It's like a man who glances in the mirror, he sees that his face is dirty, but then he just goes about his day and he does nothing about it. He forgets what he looks like. In the same way, it's like a person who just reads God's Word sometimes, and then he goes about his day, never making any changes to his life, knowing that he has sinful habits or has committed sinful acts, but he only listened to what God said. And he chose not to obey his word and make changes in his life. God says that people like this have deceived themselves. They have believed a lie, and they may be living a lie. God says in verse 25 that we should look intently, carefully at the word of God, looking at the law of liberty. God's truth that sets us free from the bondage we've been born with. We are to read, to study, listen intently, meditate, ponder over it. And then he says, do what it says. Not forgetting what he says, but obeying what we've learned from him. Meaning, you start putting it into practice in your life. It's why in our Bible study, whenever we study the Bible, whether it's Sunday school or Bible study on Wednesday nights, we always ask those three practical questions. What do I see in this passage? We need to see everything that he's saying here to gain better understanding of what he's trying to tell us. And then we ask the second question, what does it mean? What does God want me to learn from his word? And if we don't see everything, we may misinterpret the meaning. And most importantly, we ask that last question, what do I obey? How can I practically apply this truth or this principle to my life? What changes do I need to make in order for my life to line up with God's word? The word of God is given to help change us. To help change us into the likeness of Christ. It's why the word of God is, it's what the Holy Spirit uses to change us. And we don't want to just be like a man who just looks in the mirror and just glances at it for a second and then we walk away. Look here what he says. See, there's a purpose for studying the word. It makes us complete. It makes us prepared. It transforms our hearts. It transforms our minds. It transforms our will. And he uses it to mold us into the likeness of Christ. But he says here that a person who obeys will be blessed in what he does. Blessing only comes through obedience. And so many people, we pray for blessing from God. But you're not going to find personal blessing from God given to the disobedient in the Bible. And if we want to be blessed in what we do, here's the recipe. Obey His word. And there will be spiritual blessings that you can't comprehend right now. Maybe you've never felt. You've never experienced. And as we do that, He will transform our will. This reminds me of a very simple story, another one of Jesus' parables that he shared, the wise and foolish builder. A very familiar, very simple story. We learn about it in Sunday school. We've talked about it. Maybe you've sang songs about it. I love this story. You remember the story? It was after Jesus had shared the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, he had just given us a breakdown of what the law truly meant. He had just given truth about what a transformed life of his disciples was going to look like. And then at the last story he shares, this brief story, this is the last, it makes this important, it's the conclusion of his sermon. And it reveals that he wants more than us just to hear or listen and gain knowledge. You remember the story. Anyone who hears my words and obeys them. He's like this wise man. He decided to build his house on a rock foundation, and the storms came, and the house stood strong. It's built on the rock foundation. Then he says, anyone who hears my words and disobeys me, he's like a man who thought he could build his house on the sand. And then when the storms came, the house fell, and it says it fell with a great fall. Both of these men listened to Jesus' words. Both of them read his word, listened to it. But only one man obeyed, and it was that man who was blessed by God with the power and wisdom to handle the trials and the storms of life. His house didn't fall down, his life didn't fall apart. Why? Because he was obedient to God, and obedience was the fruit that Jesus was looking for. This is the whole point of that little story. He's saying, I just shared all this truth with you. This is what it's all about. It's not just about you listening and gaining knowledge. I want you to obey what I just told you. This is the fruit I'm looking for. We looked at it last week, 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. To love God is to obey him. And he says, my commandments aren't burdensome. Why? Because he's given us the power of the Holy Spirit within us. To love God is to obey him. If we say we love him and we don't obey him, then do we really love God? Apparently not. The obedience reveals the true transformation that God brings in a disciple's life. A disciple of Jesus who spends time in God's Word daily and obeys Him, they're going to see this transformation of their will. Your will becomes His will. You start to think like God thinks. You start to see what God sees. You start to act and respond and make decisions based on the will of God, not your own will. A disciple of Jesus who spends time in His Word is going to see this transformation. They're going to experience spiritual growth and maturity. In 1 Peter 2:2, it talks about a believer's desire for the Word of God. It says, like a baby desires milk. There should be a hunger, a thirst for God's Word. As God transforms our heart, as He transforms our mind and our affections as a disciple, our desire for Him is going to grow. It's going to increase greatly. This is what's happening in your life. This is what should be happening. And as we listen intently to the Word and we obey, He transforms our will. Because we're not just listening. We're taking steps. And when we take steps of obedience, we start to walk in His will. We start to walk keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, doing what He wants us to do it, when He wants us to do it. We start to do things because His Word says so, not because we say so, not because the world says so. And as we walk in obedience, He's transforming our will. It's not just about gaining more knowledge. It's about obeying what God says. God looks at the heart. This transformation of our will starts when we humbly, with meekness, accept God's Word. And we listen intently, carefully to what He has to say. Not just to gain knowledge, but to walk in obedience to what He's teaching us. And the more we walk according to God's Word, the more Jesus conforms our ways to His will. It reminds me of the story of Peter. Peter, he was a Jew. He was Jewish. He didn't want to have anything to do with Romans, with Gentiles, those people who were not Jewish. He was raised his whole life to stay away from those people, to stay away from their kind of life and the way they lived their life. It was worldly. Stay away from that. And then Peter, God calls Peter, adopts him as his child. He starts to transform his will. He overcame his own will and he followed the Lord's will to share the gospel with Gentiles just like us. It's a huge barrier. But it was God's word that he listened to. It was God's word that he received and obeyed in his word. And God transformed his will. He changed his mind. He changed his will and his ways to line up with God's ways. And you know what happened? The door was open for the gospel to spread to all peoples. Jewish, Gentile, slave, or free. It didn't matter who it was. It's a wonderful story. What things, what other voices in your life are drowning out the voice of God? What things are keeping you from hearing God in His Word? Distractions. Content. What is it? Do you believe His Word to be truth without error? Do you humbly accept that you need Him, that you are dependent on Him for everything in life? Because that's going to play into how you respond to being in His Word and listening to Him for wisdom and truth and guidance. Have you taken enough time to ponder God's Word, to ask the question, what do you want me to obey, Lord? What changes do I need to make in my life to align myself up with your Word? Or is it just about reading? Study. Maybe you got commentaries, study Bible. You're finding out the meaning. Wow, that's what He means. Wow, that's how I understand it. I've read it, I've studied it, I've meditated on it. But I've not asked that question. Lord, what do I need to obey? How do you want to change my life to line up with your word? Obedience reveals the true nature of a disciple. It's the fruit that Jesus was looking for. He has given us all the power, all the wisdom that we need to follow Him and obey His word. It's not like we're doing this in our own strength. I love 2 Corinthians 9:8. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. All sufficiency, all grace, all sufficiency, all times, in all things, so that you may abound in every good work. As the worship team comes, I want you to take this time to listen to God's voice. Don't oppose what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. Don't reject what God wants to do in your life, maybe the changes He wants to make. Take this time to cut off the sound of chaos and distraction in your life. The voices you hear from the world or from your flesh, and surrender your will to God's will. Say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Surrender in humility and listen and obey what He has revealed to you. Only you know that. Only God knows that. So sit and listen to what He has to say right now and respond in obedience.